Welcome to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is Learn to Learn. It's a wonderful topic, and I'm so grateful and happy to have an excellent guest here on my podcast, Howard Burke. Please introduce yourself. I don't like to say anything more because you're so incredible, and I'm so glad to have you here. Who are you? Where are you from?
Oh, I'm the world's fastest reader. I was the Guinness record holder in 1990, and no one ever replaced my record. And I'm in Florida. I'm in Central Florida. I'm about an hour and a half west of Disney and an hour and a half east of Tampa. So this is where you go when there's a hurricane.
Oh, wow. Don't do this. So, well, your topic is learning. And now you might think that most of us go to school and learn. And probably all the parents think, yes, it's wonderful. I have to get my kids to school so they can learn and get everything they need for their lives. But actually, your thoughts are different to this. And can you share something about this? What do you think about learning at school or learning in general?
Well, I've been in education for 50 years, but I taught in New York for 10 years in the inner city. They don't teach learning in school. They tell you what to learn and why to learn and what will happen when you don't learn. But they don't teach you how to think and remember and analyze and understand information, or how to use it, or why it matters, or how to apply it in your life. They basically just give you facts. And you're supposed to just, by magic, remember them when they ask. And then most of the time, the tests are like multiple choice, or fill in the blank, or a non-essay question. Essays, that's, we had a school. Our students only had essay tests, 300 essays. Like, one of my students did high school biology in 1 week. And I said, well, how well could he do in a week? Well, the essays were like, explain the genetic code and how it works. What's a mitochondria? And you have to do 300 essays like that, and you get two wrong, you finished high school biology. You can't flub it. You can't pretend you know it. Most schools, what they test is you can remember what they taught you, but you don't understand it. So you can learn a calculus book, you can remember all the formula, and you can't solve a single problem because you don't know what formula to use or which formulas to use in a series. Same with statistics. You learn statistics, but you don't know which statistic to use for this particular application. You just memorized a lot of facts and formula without knowing what to do with them. And for the most part, that's school. In fact, you're in Germany. You
Yes.
Invented kindergarten. That's a German term. And really,
yeah.
The purpose of school initially was take people from the farm and prepare them for the factory. So they ring a bell, go to school, ring a bell, eat your lunch, ring a bell, go back to class, ring a bell, go home. And what did they do in the factory? Ring a bell, start work. Ring a bell, go to lunch. They got
Wow.
you used to ringing a bell and doing what they tell you to do when the bell rings. That was the purpose of school. Make you smart enough to work on an assembly line, but not smart enough to start your own business. And so
That's
my
awesome.
goal in education is to make people smarter, understand better, and learn how to think and analyze and integrate different facts that contradict each other and get a cogent outcome. And that's not what school does.
Wonderful. I really love this because just when you say this, they ring the bell and you have to do this. They ring the bell and you have to do that. This is conditioning, right? This is what I don't, well, I don't remember now the name from the man who just did this with the dogs
Right,
to condition them.
But what's the significance of what he did? So you remember who did it and when they did it and what they did and how they did it. And then it's like, okay, how do you use this? What are you going to do with this in your own life? That isn't being taught. Thinking, application, deeper meaning and significance. There's three levels of learning: literal, implied, and inferential. Literal information is what school is. Learn the words on the page and repeat them on the test. So you can answer the question, but you don't know what it means. I show you an example. When I taught biology, they asked the question, name one of the five causes of disease. So one of my students said, bacteria. I said, that's a very good answer. What are bacteria? And he looked at me and he said, they're one of the five causes of disease. That was the answer. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it did. They didn't know how it worked. They didn't know the difference between good and bad bacteria, but they knew it was one of the five causes of disease. That's school. And my school was very different. What we did was we taught thinking and learning and understanding and application. So all of the students in my school got college scholarships. They were doing college courses at 11 and getting A's in a week on AP tests. One of my students graduated university at 16 with all A's, majored in economics, master's degree at 19 in math with a 3.97 GPA, all A's, 1B. Another was an 11-year-old C student, not a genius, a normal kid. At 22, he was an English professor because he learned how to learn. Another one passed the bar, became an attorney at 19. His sister's 15, first-year law student. Brother's 17, second-year law student. Brother's 22. He's an attorney and now a pilot for Southwest Airlines. That's the difference between what I did and what normal schools are doing. And we're going to discuss today some of the things we did so our audience can begin to do this with their kids, and they can get more information at berglearning.com as well after the interview to see some of the tools we've developed that we don't have time to go into, but we'll go a lot into it today.
Wonderful. I really love this because this is so crucial for our children, our life, our growing as a society and the future to really to make a difference on this earth, on our world. So I think this just has to go out and just be aware of what we are really doing and what we can do. And there is so much more because this is not new. And it's old knowledge, but we didn't apply it so far. So do you know something more about this?
When I went to college, I was 17. I majored in biology. I went to the State University of New York at Binghamton, which was considered the top state college in the state of New York. And when I was a second term junior, I got interested in the brain and learning. There's a branch a biology called psychobiology, not psychotic biology. That was Frankenstein. Psychobiology is the biology of behavior. So I went to the dean. They didn't have a major. You had to do a psych major and a bio major. And I said, I want to do the psych major. And he said, Howard, you're a second term junior. You haven't had one psych course. You have to do the whole 4-year program in 1 year and finish the bio program. You'll need to take 6 science courses a term. 2 4-hour labs, and labs were done on a slide rule. So it took 16 hours. That was 40 hours a lab and 18 credits of science. He said, you're not smart enough. I also had 3 jobs. I was working 18 hours a week on top of that.
Wow.
And he said, you can't handle that. And that's when I learned how to read 80 pages a minute. I taught myself from the psych courses how the brain works. And I finished the psych program in 1 year. I took the GRE, which is an SAT for graduate school in biology, and I reviewed 48 books in 3 nights, like biochemistry, cell physiology, genetics, plant systematics, not the lightest reading. and I got three questions wrong. So I was in the 99th percentile in the world. I got an 800. So it worked.
Wow.
I did a graduate course in educational psychology in 7 hours. It was a 5 month course. I did it in 7 hours and I took the test, which was a 6 hour test in 50 minutes and got a B plus. And that's what I was teaching my students to do, the same thing. And that's what we'll do today, because these are replicable skills. It isn't me, it's the system that makes this possible. Now, you probably won't read 80 pages a minute. I'm a little different in that respect. But we did a double-blind study using the Nelson-Denny, which is a standardized test for speed and comprehension, with 100 random people. They took the test before they learned, and 50 of them did the A test and then the B, and 50 did the B test and then the A, to make sure the second test didn't make them look smarter because it was easier. And every one of them doubled or quadrupled, most doubled, with very, very good comprehension. So I could honestly say a normal person could read at least 100% faster in 4 hours time with very good understanding. And that's what we'll do today.
Yes, that's so wonderful. Because actually I was trying, we had the conversation before and you told me what I can do. So I just tried it and it was incredible. So I just loved it to really speed up my reading. And reading is so crucial, don't you think? Because if you can gather more in a shorter time, I think it all can relate to the information can just fall together somehow.
Reading, in a Swiss Army knife, reading's the big blade, but it isn't the whole knife. This is important. Reading by itself, even slowly, isn't learning. You can read a book and memorize facts and still fail because you don't know how to use them or what to do with them. So real learning involves reading to find what you need to know, not the things you don't need to know. That how to understand the ones that are confusing, even though they're confusing, how to remember them when you need to use them. And another important skill is, how do you stay in the right state so you're not nervous taking the test or tired taking the test and you fail to perform because your emotions are out of sync with what the demands are at the time. So we teach all that, plus study skills and test-taking skills. So now you have a whole Swiss Army knife where reading is one piece of the entire learning spectrum, and you can do amazing things. And if you'd like, we could start right now and show people some of the strategies and get them started with their kids so they could actually experience the change today and not just hear about it.
Yes. So
what is there?
Yeah, my daughter.
Why don't we speed her up? And those watching, do this with me, because you will read about 20 to 40% faster in the next 3 minutes. This is the first step. So let's introduce your daughter.
Yes.
Hello. Okay.
So she's
not a
here.
little girl. Okay. She's a young woman. But you can do this with youngsters as young as 8. We generally do 11 and up, but we have done 8-year-olds in Toronto. They're very smart. Most of them at 8 years old don't have the patience to sit for a few hours. That's the problem. They're too young to be patient. But 11 and up, they're in junior high, middle school. They know
but
how to
she's
sit
now
for
16 years old. So
she's an adult. She's ready to be an adult. She looks very, very prepared. So what's your name?
But she doesn't know anything. I
what's
haven't
her
told
name?
Her.
What's her name?
My name is Johanna.
Okay, Johanna?
Yes.
Perfect. So you have a book there I saw behind you?
Yes.
Okay, so let's get the book. Now I'm going to tell you how to read faster. First, we're going to do a little drill to see how fast you read now. And this, I'd like the people watching, those of you that are at home, I would like for you to, let me set my timer for 1 minute. Once that's 1 second, let me go for 1 minute. I'd like you to get a book that you understand. So the only thing that can confuse you is how fast you're reading, not what you're reading. Like calculus can confuse a lot of people, or physics, advanced chemistry. So it isn't that you're reading too fast, it's hard. So make sure it's something you can understand. And you're going to read for 1 minute, and I'm going to time you. And when the minute is up, we'll see how far you get, doing nothing special. And then I'm going to teach you how to read quicker. And then we'll time you again, and you'll see how much farther you read because of the change. Does that sound good?
Yeah, but then I think I should change the book. 1 minute, please.
Okay. Get a book that you understand. That's very important. I'll give her a minute. And for those watching, get a book you understand. Okay. Because if you get a book that you don't understand, it's like a foreign language. You don't know the words. You don't know the formula. It's just too hard. So you don't know if you're reading too slow or you're just too confused because the material doesn't make any sense. So you have your book. Okay. Open the book to the first page of the first chapter. The very first page of the first chapter. And we're not doing anything special. You're just going to read for 1 minute. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, and those at home, start reading now. Normal reading, nothing different. Perfect. Okay, now the magic. Here's what I'm going to have you do next. You're going to take your hand and watch what I'm doing. I'm going from the left to the right margin. From the left to the right margin on the page in the second chapter, one line at a time. And this is the important part. Your eye is following your hand. Your eye is going one line at a time as fast as you could comprehend. So as long as you know what you're reading, go quicker and quicker and quicker till you don't. And since the book isn't too hard, the only reason you're getting confused is it's too fast. So then go just a little slower so that you do understand. And then find the fastest you can go, one line at a time, with your eyes following your hand, and find the top speed you can go. And we'll do that for 1 minute, okay? Everyone, open up to
Okay.
the second chapter, the second chapter. Jump ahead so you're not reading the same material. And you're going for a minute, you're using your hand and moving your eye all the way from the left to the right as fast as you can understand. Not faster, not slower. Okay,
Yes.
ready? Go ahead. Use your hands, very important. Fast as you can read, as fast as you can read. And stop. Okay, now go back to the first chapter. Were you tested yourself originally? Were you measured how far you could go? We're going to read for a minute using your hand to go as fast as you could comprehend. Same thing you did just now where you started, and let's see how farther you go from the place you finished last time. Are you ready?
Yes.
First chapter, and you're going to read as fast as you can comprehend with your hand, and let's see how much further you go from where you started. Ready? Begin.
Yes.
And those at home, do this with us. Keep the hand moving and stop. And now look at where you are in the book, and look at where you were last time when you did it for 1 minute, and see how much further you went just doing that one step. It's probably about 20 to 40% or even more from where you started. And you still know what you're reading. Yes. And this is the first step. It takes about an hour and a half to go 100 to 400% faster. We don't
Wow.
have that much time, but that's step one. Now we'll go to step two. Most people would agree It isn't how fast you read, it's how well you understand. I would rather go two times faster and get an A because I really know what I read than go five times faster and not know the name of the book and what the topic is. The speed isn't the thing people want. People want to learn faster. And so, how do you learn? What makes the information make sense to your brain? That's a fair question. How is it people can read it all? I'm going to show you the system that demonstrates how that happens. Now, the secret to comprehension is a psychological term. It's called schema. Rather than talk about it, I'm going to demonstrate it so you actually see how schema works. I'm going to read a passage. It has no schema. It means it won't make any sense because you won't know what it means. Then I'll read it a second time with a title that has schema, and instantly it will make sense. And you can see the difference between no schema and schema. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, this is an easy thing to do. If possible, you could do it at home, but you could always go someplace else if it's necessary. Beware of overdoing it. This is a major mistake and may cost you quite a bit of money. What am I talking about? I have no idea.
Something about money?
No, and
I
those
don't know.
weren't hard words. Those were very easy words, but you have no idea what I'm telling you, right?
Yes.
No schema. Now I'm going to read it again. One word title, one word, and watch how much differently your brain hears the same exact words. Laundry. Laundry. This is an easy thing to do. If possible, you could do it at home, but you could always go someplace else if it's necessary. Beware of overdoing it. This could be a major mistake and cost you quite a bit of money. Are you confused now?
A little
No,
bit.
because the word laundry told you what it meant. So what I'm teaching people are these psychological clues and where they are. So even though they're going 100, 200, 300% faster, they know what to look for to make the meaning come clearer to their brain. And that's a big difference between reading and understanding. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's do
Absolutely.
another
This is
one.
so
Okay.
powerful.
You have something? Would you like to ask a question or anything before I continue? It's your show. I don't want to just keep going and not
Oh,
get.
it's wonderful because it's a perfect demonstration of how we actually can go better and understand more and just to implement it.
And you
So
see the
it's not.
difference. The difference is clear. That's again Berg learning, Berg learning. You'll see there's a lot of programs. We have them for very young children who can't read, all the way up to college and beyond, professionals like lawyers, doctors, attorneys. Okay, the next thing you want to learn is how do I remember? You say, how do you read fast? Do you remember anything? I was on TV about 10 years ago when the Obama healthcare bill came out. It was 1,500 pages long, the first one. And Fox News said, can you read it? And I said, yes, but it'll take almost an hour. It's 1,500 pages. And they said, will you be able to tell us what's in it? I said, absolutely. They said, how could that be? We asked 10 people who teach speed reading, and they all said no one could do it. I said, well, I'm the best in the world. I can do it, but it will take almost an hour. I'm not going to make up. I could look at this for 5 seconds and know what's in it. They said, okay, so I read it for 50 minutes, 1,500 pages. It was a lot of pages. And I did a full analysis, and everything I said was right. So I remember it. Now I'm going to teach you how to do that. Would that be an interesting thing to be able to do? I'm
Absolutely.
going to give you 10 things to remember. And please, those watching, do this with me. You don't learn by watching, you learn by doing. You'll remember 10% of what you read. That's it. You remember 90% of what you say and do. What I'm about to teach you is a tool that you will use for the rest of your life and your students can use. So please say and do when I ask you. Now, I'm going to give you 10 things to remember. Here's the 10 things. Pole, shoes, tricycle, car, glove, gun, dice, skate, cat, and bowling pins. Can you please give me all 10 things backwards and forwards right now? I'm going to say no. No.
Pole, shoes, skate, gun.
That's pretty good.
Know.
That's better than that. No, that's normal. That's very normal. I expected that. Now I'm going to teach you how to do it. This is the difference between school and what I do. School would give you 10 things and say, go learn it, right? That's how school. Here are 10 things you need to know in biology. And they throw them on the board, and you're supposed to remember the 10 things. They never showed you how to remember them. I'm going to show you how to remember them. And you know that list backwards and forwards, effortlessly in 3 minutes. How can you do that? Well, the ancient Greeks discovered a secret to memory 2,000-3,000 years ago. They should have been teaching it when you were in kindergarten. If you have a list, you know, you link it to the list you're learning. The list you know is hanging in your brain. And what do you do with hangers in a closet? You hang things on it. I'm going to bet that you and everyone watching can count to 10. I feel very comfortable. You know how to count to 10 all by yourself, right? Perfect. We're going to use the 10 numbers that you know to learn 10 things I just gave you in less than 3 minutes perfectly. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, it looks like a pole. Think of a flagpole or a light pole. It looks like a one. So when I say one, this is important. You say pole. You should say it. You won't remember listening. You remember doing. You remember one. What's one?
Pole.
Perfect. You're smart. Two is shoes. You wear two shoes. What's two?
Shoes.
What was one?
Pole.
Excellent. Three is a tricycle. There's three wheels on a tricycle. What's three?
Tricycle.
What was two?
Shoes.
What was one?
Pole.
Getting smarter. Four is a car. It has four tires. Four tires on a car. What's four?
Car.
What's one?
Pole.
What's three?
Tricycle.
What's two?
Shoes.
It's not in order. It doesn't matter. Your brain's learning how to learn. Five is a glove. How many fingers are in a glove? Five. So what's five?
A glove.
What was three?
Tricycle.
What was one?
Four.
Perfect. Six gun. They loved them in Texas. When I lived in Texas, they're cowboys. They like guns. I don't like guns, but they did. Six gun. What's six?
Gun.
What was four? Four tires?
Car.
Two.
Shoes.
Perfect. Getting more and more. Lucky seven, dice. If you play dice, I don't, but if you do, you want a seven. Lucky seven, dice. What's seven?
Dice.
What was five? I'm giving you a clue.
Gloves.
Glove. What was three?
Tricycle.
What was one?
Pull.
You're almost done. Rhymes work. Say eight skate. Say it. Eight skate.
Eight skate.
Eight skate.
Eight skate.
What's eight?
Skate.
Good. What was six? What did they love in Texas?
Gun.
What was four?
Car.
What was two?
Shoes.
Excellent. A cat has how many lives? Nine. Cats have nine lives, right? Nine is a cat. What's nine?
Cat.
Seven was lucky in what game? You want to have
Dice.
That's right. What was five?
Glove.
What was three?
Tricycle.
What was one?
Pool.
You ever go bowling? There's 10 bowling pins in a bowling lane. 10 bowling pins. What's 10?
Bowling?
Let's
bowling.
Do the list that you couldn't do 3 minutes ago. What was one?
Pool.
What was two?
Shoes.
What was three?
Tricycle.
What was four?
Car.
Five.
Glove.
Six. Texas.
Gun.
Lucky seven.
Dice.
Eight rhymes with.
Skate.
Nine.
Cat.
What's 10?
Bowling pins.
You just did the whole list that you didn't know how to remember. Now I'm going to tell you something. This will help you do super well in school. This is how to memorize numbers. Are you ready? Let's
Yes.
say you go to a hotel and the room is 314. How many times by the time you go downstairs, you forgot the room you were in? I'm going to show you how to remember numbers. You turn numbers into pictures. Three is a
tricycle?
tricycle. What's one?
Pool?
What's four?
Car?
A tricycle hits a pole on a car. You make a movie. A tricycle hits a pole on a car. Tricycle, what number?
Three.
Hits a pole.
One.
On a car.
Four.
What's your room number?
314.
Tricycle pole car. 314. Now, in school, you learn 314 for pi to do the size of a circle, 3.14. Nobody remembers it because it's weird. So it's tricycle pole car to remember pi in math. And you can use this for dates in history. You can use this in science. You can use this in math for those who are older, in business to remember percentages, dates, phone numbers, room numbers. You just learned how to speed memorize numbers. And the zero is the 10 bowling pins. There's only 10 digits, 0 through 9. And so every number now has a picture, and zero is 10 bowling pins. So you can turn any number into 10 to whatever picture it is, and then push them together in a movie. And when you remember your movie, you'll remember the number. Wouldn't that help you in school?
It would.
And that's exactly what I
Absolutely.
teach. And we'll continue. There's another skill we can do, but I'm going to give your mom a chance to talk.
It's so incredible. I really love it because yes, it's helping. It's helping us. It's helping everyone who is really watching and doing it. And that's important, really. Not only listening and say, oh, I got it. I've understood it, but really do this. So the implementation of this is so crucial. And easy, yes.
This isn't like learning calculus or organic chemistry. This is easy. And
yes.
That's what it should be. A solution to a problem should be easier than the problem you're solving. Otherwise, it's a new problem.
Yeah, otherwise, it's a new problem, right?
So let's look at another problem that students have. Do you ever get nervous on a test?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you ever get tired on a long test and like, when is it going to end?
Yes.
Does that help you do better on the test or worse?
Worse.
Perfect. I'm going to show you how to wake up when you're tired in school. When the teacher's talking and you're like, someone make them stop. When is this going to be over? It's like going to hell. They don't stop and they're just talking and talking and talking. Make the bell ring, please. I'm sure you've had many days in school where it's like, isn't there a bell somewhere I can ring? Make it stop. And so I'm going to show you how to instantly wake up. And I taught this to the military, the Special Forces in Fort Bragg, the Green Berets. And to the Royal Thai Army in Bangkok, the generals and the colonels, the higher officers, they're very well trained. But if they go on a mission for 3 or 4 days with no sleep, they may not remember what they told them and they could get killed. If you have a bad day, you work late, they have a bad day, they don't come home. So I'm gonna teach you what I taught them, how to instantly wake up whenever you want. Are you ready to learn this?
Yes.
And people at home, do this with me. Now, please stand up just for this one drill. I can't stand because my microphone is too far down and you won't hear me if I stand, but you can. Now, we know the left side of the brain controls what part of your body? The left
Okay.
controls the right, and the right controls the left. I want you to do this with me. Take your left hand and touch your right shoulder. Perfect. Now take your right hand and touch your left shoulder. Take your left hand, touch your right shoulder. Take your right hand, touch your left shoulder. It's like the Macarena without the music. Okay. Now the same thing. Take your left hand, touch your right knee. Left hand, right knee. Right hand, left knee. And notice you have to think about it. Your knee is moving with your hand. That's why standing is important. Perfect. Now grab your thumb like I am in your hand. Grab your thumb, hold it up, and say this like you mean it. I feel great.
I feel great.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
With passion. You go, I feel great. That's the way you'll feel later. You want to feel great, not you.
I
Right, exactly. If you don't feel it, it's not there. We're going to do three sets of these. And when you're done, I'm going to show you to instantly wake up in school, at work, anytime you have to study late and you don't want to drink coffee, you won't be able to go to sleep. Are you ready? Starting with the
Yes.
shoulders, left to right. Go at my speed. Ready? One, two, three, four, five, six. Knees. One, two, three, four, five, six. How do you feel?
I
I
feel
feel great. Yes. We'll do it
great.
again. A
Yes.
little faster. A little faster. You ready? One, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, four, five, six. How do you feel?
I
I
think
feel great. Yes. You're doing
great. Yes.
fantastic. This time as fast as you can. As fast as you can. Ready? One, two,
Ready,
three,
kid.
four, five, six. One, two, three, four, five, six. How do you feel?
I
You feel great. Yes. Sit down.
think great.
Smile. Feel great. Sit down. Go back down in your seat. Now, you know what happens when you do this three times? Nothing. Now, you probably would like something. So let me show you how that works. Remember, we talked about Pavlov. Remember Pavlov? He rang a bell, he fed a dog. He rang a bell, he fed a dog. Eventually, he rang a bell and the dog drooled. You don't want to drool. The latest studies on the brain say it takes 90 days to make a habit, not 30, 90. If you do what I showed you, slow, medium, fast, every day for 90 days, now you're in an important test and it's long. Like an SAT or an ACT, it's many, many hours, and you start to get tired and you can't think. You don't want to stand up in the middle of the test and start rubbing your shoulders. They'll throw you out of the room. They'll think something's very wrong with that person. What you can do, grab your thumb and say to yourself, I feel great. Yes, that's your bell. Every time you did this, you felt better. You stimulated the left brain, you stimulated the right brain. You did them both at the same time when your knees were moving and it woke you up. And now you remember it and you go, I feel great, yes, to yourself. And your brain remembers every time you do this, you wake up and the test is still going and you wake up. Or the class is boring and you wake up. You're studying at night and you wake up. And now this is emotional intelligence. They don't teach this in school. They expect you to know how to do it, but they never show you how it works.
Thank you for listening to the episode number 5, Learn to Learn with Howard Berg. This is the end of part 1, and stay tuned for the next part 2 coming soon.